Ladies and gentlemen, please lock your doors. Pull your curtains and douse your lights. Come, draw up to the fire as we go live to the studio embers of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show!
When hell is full, the dead shall walk the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Sunday night once again as the Colts play Monday Night Football. Oh, Sunday Night Football in the background. I'm stuck here in studio with you guys. Voted number one listeners in the universe by us. This is your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
That's right. Paranormal broadcasting where blah, 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 blah. We've said it all already.
It's kind of like doing our tax form. Skip to the end. Where do I sign?
That's about it.
Hey, guys, if you haven't guessed, we are the Ghost Man Demon Hunter Show, and we'll be in studio all night long.
You can log into that chat room. Oh, wait, we'll be in the studio all night long? That's right, we will. And you can log into our chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
The kids broke my bell. You kids been playing with this bell? I can't, I swear. This is your Ghost Man, Sean B.
That would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
That would make this October 17th broadcast.
Of
our show.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is independently produced by Nathan Scooter and Sean Burris and broadcast live on KarmaCast Radio and Planet Paranormal Radio and is recorded for Planet Paranormal and the Black Vault Radio Network sometimes.
Sometimes. On the better days when they want to admit to it. Guys, tonight's guest, we've done it again. We've outdone ourselves. Tonight's guest, Patrick Devaney, series creator, director, and so much more from... What is that? www.zombiehuntershow.com. That's zombiehuntershow.com. Check your stuff out. This cat is zombie crazy. So tonight we go from ghosts, zombies, brain eaters, aliens, oh my, on your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
You know, maybe...
I didn't know what to do there. I was ad-libbing. That's me.
Maybe we could get him to finally answer the question of which one of us, Sean or I, would best survive a zombie attack.
You know, I was thinking about that last night. I couldn't wait to get him on. How do you survive a zombie attack? This is the expert, guys. Stick around. Stay tuned. Might just save your family.
It could. And you know why, Sean?
Why?
Because the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
Heart beats faster and faster. Are you heathen that hooligan? You won't get the hell out of here. Promise someone else for a while now, brother. I can use a beer. Don't need you and I don't need.
Live from the G&D studios, inspiring future generations of ghost hunters to think for themselves, the original bad boys of the paranormal, Ghost Man and Demon Hunter.
Ooh, baby.
You like that? I never know when to chime in now. You know, I never know when to, we got all these hot, sexy chicks on here, and I don't know when to chime in.
We're just growing and growing.
We are growing. I feel like a bad boy tonight, so, Demon.
That was like a hot, sexy boy. Joke, and I shouldn't have said it. I'm sorry. Yeah.
You ruined it.
Steve, I think we'll all have a groovy time.
Yes, I think we will.
Most likely we will have a groovy time, everybody, because this is your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. And,
you ever seen a grown man naked?
Yes, we have. And we love you. Thanks to everybody. You noticed I threw in that greatest listeners in the planet, number one. Voted number one.
By us. That's right.
You know, I've been drinking this red wine tonight, Demon Hunter. I thought I'd take a page from your act, from your scene, and
I'm still in lines here. And I'm drinking the wine, the red wine, in honor of our guest tonight. Zombies, because blood's red, and you see a lot of blood and guts and zombie horror flicks. But, you know, that's something me and you talk about a lot. And we talked about it with our listeners, so I thought they would dig tonight's guest because he's a zombie master. And this guy does it the way we do it, man. You know, he just... He did it on his own. He didn't wait for nobody to say nothing. He said, you know what? I got the talent. I got the tools. Roll film, baby. And that's what he's been doing for, I think, almost 5 years now. So hats off to him, man.
Well, I'll tell you, man. I don't know why you said my book, The Red Wine. I never drink wine. So it's...
No, you drink blood. Is what I was, blood. Your blood.
Only if I find an alcoholic, you know.
isn't that what the extreme paranormal fans think of you anyway? After our the greatest, what was it? The greatest controversial film in the history of
the most controversial paranormal television show ever. Apparently,
I'm proud to say.
Yes,
to
but say. You know what? What I have noticed is
you ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah,
we the fan base of Extreme Paranormal. From last year, has grown because people have seen it now. In fact, it will be on again this coming week, or maybe it's, I think it's like the 25th or the 26th. It'll be on for Bio's Week from Hell.
You don't say.
I don't say.
Wait, I do say. Some guy somewhere sweating right now in his bedroom just with posters of us.
Well, it was funny because I didn't know it was going to be on, and I was watching Bio Channel today. And I'm sitting there, and there's all this spooky stuff is coming up. And all of a sudden, I see the corner of our, that damn floating pentagram. if they had just built it larger, everything would have been better. But
they used the one from our bathtub. That's what our kids play.
I really think. You know, I tell people all the time, I was supposed to have a boat in the center of it, and they built the they built it smaller and said, we'll just put
Nathan, fat kid.
we'll put Nathan in the middle of it. He can swim in the water. And I was like, but I can't swim. So poor Sean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
I got certified, 2 weeks before then to go diving. And I got certified here in rock quarry, and they were like, okay, man, you're ready to go. So the next week I jumped on a boat, and we were on set at night in the mountains of New Mexico, and they said, have fun, bubble. And that was it, man. I had to jump off. I had to do my first backwards jump off of a boat into ghost infested waters, everybody. That was scary, man. I was genuinely scared. And I noticed that you and Gowan couldn't stop from laughing. You guys are both looking at me going, you're such a weirdo.
We were laughing more when you were walking around on shore in your wetsuit.
Yeah. Well, you know, not everybody has the physique of a schoolboy like yourself, you know, but I am a man, you know, and that's, you know, a man has, you know, sometimes a beer gut. So, hey. And I show it well, thank you.
But folks, definitely this week coming up on next week coming up on Bio, Week from Hell, and Extreme Paranormal will be part of it. So check it out.
Week from Hell. Is that a shot at us?
I think it may have been.
Well, you know, everybody else takes one. Yeah, that's good anyway, man, because I've heard so many fans, a lot of fans of the show, a lot of support. Like you said, Demon Hunter, a lot of support comes out now.
Well, it's odd because I think when it premiered, people were thinking that we were like going to be another ghost hunting show, and everybody was up in arms. And when we explained to people afterwards, we weren't trying to be another ghost hunting show. We were trying to see if there was a way to make ghosts appear.
Well, I think they got to remember, they don't know the history, Demon Hunter. I don't know if we could even say this, but the show was going to be called something else.
It was.
I don't think we can. Can we mention the name?
I think we mentioned, Tim Yancey mentioned it 100 times, so I don't
know
why we can.
Yeah, when we first got pitched on this, guys, they contacted Nathan and I, and we'd been doing the radio show. They said, hey, we like your style, let's do this. And it was going to be called Playing with Fire. Now, that is more so what we were doing. We were playing with fire. We don't deny it. Absolutely not. But you know what? We had the cojones to go in there and do it anyway, because for you fine people, you need to know if, you know, this is real or not. And, you know, whatever. You could like us or love us. Just watch it. You know, that's that's our motto. But at the same time, guys, a lot of support. You guys have shown us a lot of support since we premiered last year, and who knows what's going to happen with the future.
If you actually look for Extreme Paranormal on iTunes, where you can buy it now for $1.99 an episode or $2.99 for both of them, boy, we're so expensive, $1.99.
Yeah, no.
But you can buy it. We have a 3-star rating on there.
And I think I've seen this at a yard sale already.
it's so funny because you look through the quotes. And every other person, first person hates it, next person loves it, next person hates it, next person loves it. And it obviously, we are a different fan base than a lot of the other shows out there.
You know what people, you know what people like though, Nate, about you and I, and we've been doing this since we started rocking and rolling with the radio show. We love everybody, and we don't care if you come after us on a nightly basis. You know, we love you guys, and we support you guys 100%. And you know, I was talking to a guy, a gentleman, on Facebook, and you know, he was saying how I didn't think he knew who I was at first, and he was talking about the show and how he didn't agree with some of the techniques and some of the ways it was done. And I said, hey buddy, I said, if you haven't guessed, you know, I'm one of the cats from the show, and you know what, you don't have to love the show to be a friend. And you know what, he you know what he told me, he said, hey man, I respect your attitude, and I will listen to your radio show because I love that attitude, and hopefully we'll be able to work together someday. And hey, if you're listening tonight, you know who you are, and we love you, man. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for the comments too, because we always that's it, man. People, you guys are the viewers. If you think we can be better, tell us, because we can knock them all out, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. And you know, we're not really talking about certain stuff, but we've mentioned it before on the show, and you know, if you want to see more of it, it's up to you folks to get the word out there so we can stay on the air.
That's so, right. Think of things. Maybe you get a tattoo across your belly.
Yes, yes. As long as you've got a, you don't have Sean's belly, because we don't want it to be.
Oh, you're gonna do belly jokes on me? I'll have you know, I've shed 35 pounds.
Oh my. Oh my, I am impressed. Yeah. I am impressed.
35 pounds. I never was a huge guy.
But he changed his underwear. But
hey, pleasant. Hey, I have been big boned since high school football, thank you. And that's what got me in my football career. As the Colts play in the background, guys, that's another thing. I don't got a TV here. Me and Demon Hunter don't have the funds yet for, you know, in-studio plasma screens. But if you guys could update me on the there you go, Ghost Chaser 17-7. I guess that's the Colts, because he put it first, so the Colts are on top. Ghost Chaser, or anybody, if you guys could just keep me in the loop, you rock. That's it. I can't believe it. I'm down here while my Colts are on Sunday Night Football. I was telling Demon Hunter, I said, man, I never play during a Colts game. I would have thought a way to get out of this, but I was kidding, of course. I'd be here for you guys. That's what we do, though. That's what
it's what we do every Sunday. We get back on here, and you know, off the TV show, I did do that event on last Friday night, the Secret Life of Ghosts at the Masonic Hall.
Yeah, how'd that go, man?
It was incredible. It was probably one of the, and I'm not tooting my own horn because I planned it, but it was probably one of the smoothest running paranormal shows I've ever seen. The entire thing probably only went over 10 minutes, you know, because you know these things always go over.
Yeah, yeah.
And it ran smoothly. The guests were great. The speakers were wonderful. People loved the building. People loved the show. I learned some new things. Did you know that there's an app on iPhones now where you can put a ghost in your photos?
Really? Haven't seen that.
Yeah, and apparently one of the speakers had actually received a iPhone. I'm sorry here. They received a photo from someone saying, I need help, I have a ghost in my house. And then when they researched it, they realized it was an iPhone photo that somebody put the photo picture in there.
Oh my God, man. You got to be kidding me.
Quit playing with your dinghy.
You got to be kidding me. Yeah, quit playing with your dinghy, folks. You know, there's too much real stuff out there to be faking it. Come on, man. Come on.
But definitely, and you know, my whole thing when I do my show, people got a lot of laughs out of mine because, you know, I do my presentation very much like we do the radio show and try and keep people entertained. And
right.
I called it learning from my mistakes. So I taught people all the mistakes I've made in ghost hunting.
Right, right. Absolutely. And that's the way to do it, man. I like that approach. I like telling people, hey, I tried this and it didn't work. What do you guys think? Yeah. Because you get a lot of feedback, man. I don't want to sit up here and blab about what I've done because I don't know everything. Half of what most of what I've learned has been off of the greats in the field. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The people that have done this for 20, 30, 40, even 50 years have taught me a thing or two. Now, we can all add our own twist to it, and that's what makes it great about being able to share knowledge and information together and work on this as a team. You know, but it's just, you know, that's the same thing about with EP, Extreme Paranormal. When we aired, a lot of people came out and they started attacking us, saying our stuff was fake. Now, this is with no proof, guys, like have been on other shows. This is with nothing, nobody's seen anything that would lead you to believe this was fake. But a lot of people, Demon Hunter, you know this, said a lot of our EVPs and stuff like that were fake. And as you know, you were on set with me, they were not.
That's what
we would not fake evidence, guys, would not do it. If it's going to be boring, it's going to be boring to the grave. and you guys are going to go to it
and
with us.
And boy, did we annoy our producers with that.
Yeah, yes, we did. And not saying they wanted us to fake nothing. They didn't, but they really wanted stuff to happen. You know what I mean? And stuff sometimes just doesn't happen.
And then when things would happen that were extremely exciting to us, like when we held the seance, and we were taking, in the room that we tied Jason up in the kids' playroom, we laid all these toys on a table and we're measuring the heat of the toys while we held a seance, and one toy kept getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And then all of a sudden they stopped filming and went to leave, and they went, well, this is kind of boring. And we're like, what do you mean it's boring? This is what we've been here for.
Right, right. Well, you know, the thing about it is, man, with the EP, what I've never really approached, what we never really talked about, the say what you will about the things we tested. And that's just what it was, guys. It was testing theories and things that have been done way before us. We just went back to the ancient times, and we tried to test it with, you know, knowledge about how things are in science today. And say what you will, but all the stuff that you thought was amazing and fake was real stuff.
Yeah.
Now, knowing that, you can believe me or not, go back and think about it. Was the stuff we're doing that outrageous, or was it just outrageous enough to get enough stuff to happen to make you think it was fake? Think about that tonight, huh?
I think I'm going to have to get out an English book and read through it to see if I understand the sentence, Sean.
Well, it could have been a run-on, a tad bit. You never know.
But before we go on, I want to thank the folks who came and spoke at the Secret Life of Ghosts. Mike and Carrie from the Connecticut Paranormal Encounters and Research. Andy Seidel from the East Coast Scare Society. Donna Parrish Bischoff. And Joe and Orlando from the Connecticut Paranormal Research Society. So,
Orlando Joe!
Thanks, Frank. Thanks. So,
keep
that
rocking, Frank. That's it, man.
Making a mistake in calling Joe Frankie Frank. So,
hey, I wanted to give a quick shout out, though, Demon Hunter, to a friend of yours, friend of mine, friend of the shows, and a friend of everybody in there. Guys, I want you to go tonight to a very special place of mine because, as you guys know, I'm always trying to do stuff here locally too. Extreme Paranormal, the guys, what we did, we're the same type of people of our listeners. We want to help, and we're always out there trying to do things for free, for charity, to help people out. We usually get burnt on it, don't we, Demon Hunter? We keep pushing on, and we keep doing things for free and to help people. And they say karma comes back to you, so that's what we're hoping. But I wanted to give out something tonight. Very cool site, guys, and I was trying to get that. You know, we always thought about the old horror host, and we had Sammy Terry. We had the honor of having late night horror host in Indianapolis, Sammy Terry, come on, what, Demon Hunter, 2-3 years ago?
No, not even, about a year ago.
About a year ago, yeah. And Sammy was on there, and man, if you guys haven't checked the archives, Elvira came on too, but Sammy, you got to check the archives. I mean, this guy, we got to go behind the scenes with him, find out what was happening in between, you know, horror movies, stuff like that. You need to go right now, or not right now, after the show, guys. You can wait another half hour or an hour. Go to www.horrorhostgraveyard.com. That's horrorhostgraveyard.com. Chris is the web designer of that and the operator. And just tell them to go spend a Demon Hunter sent you. They need your support, guys. There's a lot of horror hosts all across the country that I didn't know about, Demon Hunter, that is doing this stuff, like our guest tonight, doing this on their own. Instead of begging corporations and top-notch, you know, places to do it, they're doing it themselves, putting it on YouTube and stuff. And I commend them. I commend them because that, my friend, is where the world's going to. That's where our production company, everything. That's why they said YouTube was like the most watched entertainment site in the world, wasn't it, like last year,
something like that? Yeah, military, especially with a lot of our young men and women overseas, a lot of them use YouTube to keep up on news and television shows and you name it, they're out there.
Yeah. Hey, there's Corpse S. Chris. That's his name, Corpse. Corpse S. Chris. He's in the house. He's a good buddy, man. He's good. And we'll be pimping the site every week, guys, because you got to go. I mean, it kept me up all night long. There's so many different links, Demon Hunter, and, you know, you got the Scream Freaks come on there, and they introduce the movies, and it's just great to see the different cultures and backgrounds. I mean, it's as crazy as our show, you know what I mean, just with horror hosts, so... You got to do it, man. You got to do it. Except this is live, so you get all the mistakes every week. We don't edit it.
Yeah, it's tough to even edit it when I put it on the archives. If I edited out the mistakes, there'd be no show left.
That's funny because you've actually called me before and say, you know what? There'll still be something on the archive. You'd be like, man, I thought I took that out. You know? So as people applaud us around the world every week, Demon Hunter sits there and goes over the archives, works hard through the night to get it up for you guys can listen to it.
Best show ever.
You know? That's right. And it's my hat's off to you, Demon Hunter. Couldn't do it without you, buddy. It's a two-man show. Hey, sometimes a three- and four-man show. So.
You know, I don't read the news as well as you do, Sean, but I did have one story I wanted to throw out there this week.
You did?
Yes. World's smallest person turns 18 today. That was last Tuesday, October 12th. His quote, I am a little man, but he's 22 inches tall. He's from Nepal, Nepal. He's just a teen, but as of last Tuesday, he's 18, which makes him an adult, so he's the world's smallest person. So
has he started hating his parents yet? Has that started 18? I was looking at my kids this weekend. We were at the pumpkin patch, man. I didn't share that with you, Demon Hunter. We went to the pumpkin patch, the Waterman's Farm pumpkin patch here in Indianapolis, man. Rocks out. You guys got to check it out right now. The leaves are turning. The smell is in the air, burning leaves and fresh old pumpkins, man. And we walked around, and they had a bunch of stuff to do, and we took pictures, and we walked back to the pumpkin patch. Best place ever. And Sissy just got old enough to start standing. So we got some pictures of her standing. I'll be posting those guys on Facebook and on here as soon as I can. But it was just great, man. I love this time of year. I was driving home tonight. We was talking, and the trees are turning. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
I finally today just got up all my Halloween decorations.
Did you really?
Yep. I started like over a week ago, and today I just finished doing it. So it's a slow year for me. Usually I have them up by mid-September, so...
See, I don't know how you did it when you were kids, but my mom had a big cardboard box that said Kmart on the side, and we had all these cutout, stuff for Halloween that we'd hang all over the windows, and I couldn't wait, guys. It'd be Christmas time, and I'd be putting, skeletons and stuff up in the windows, and finally mom said, I can't do that no more, so what I did was I started my own haunted house, which my house was haunted, so that was kind of the thing, but anyway, people from the family would come through, and I'd be like, come to my room, it's a haunted house, and I'd put a garbage bag up over my door to my room, people would come through, and I'd go, ooh, and they'd see the scary decoration. It's pretty lame, but hey, I was a kid. It was good. I've come a long way, folks, haven't I?
Hey, here's a touch of weird news for you, Sean. Streaker alert.
Okay.
I know you would like that, since you like doing everything naked. Unfortunately, it was a guy. So, at the Ryder Cup, Ryder Cup, Flasher rides his way into the naked news. Hey, it's not the size of the truck, but how you pack your junk. This Cape streaker hit the golf course with little more than his monkey covering. He had a little crotch monkey. Monkey covering his private parts. A monkey tea party written on his head. Oh, and a hat. You got to protect yourself from the sun. So,
don't want to get cancer, man.
The streaker interrupted play during the Ryder Cup on October 4th, streaking at the 18th green during the singles match and at the Celtic Manor Resort in Newport, Wales.
Okay.
So you need to be careful of those things. Little balls are often hit very, very hard on the golf course.
You ruined it. Little ball, I get it. Oh,
but
man,
that's from weirdnews.about.com. So, I just wanted to throw some interesting news out there. I just thought you'd like the streaker alert there, Sean.
I did like it. Woo, woo. Hey, Churchill's false teeth go on the chopping block, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems that nothing is sacred now that Winston Churchill's false teeth are on the auction block. The cigar-chomping British Prime Minister was so fearful of breaking the dentures during one of his famous fits of rage that he kept dental technician Derek Cutlip from going to war. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Heard it here.
I think it's more funny that he had a dental technician called Cutlip.
Cutlip, see? Yeah. It's C-U-D, Cutlip.
Cutlip, okay. But
I get it. In case the teeth needed repair, the man who made them would be standing by. The gold-mounted choppers, one of three identical sets, are expected to fetch a high price. One set was buried with the leader, who died at age 90 in 1965. Another set went to the Royal College of Surgeons Museum. The exhibit is titled The Teeth That Saved the World. The third set was given to Cudliff. His son Nigel put the teeth up for sale. His dentures had a gap to preserve his slight lisp, but they were delicate and often broke. Cudliff 56 of Oakley, England says, Father said the Churchill had a real temper and would bite down on them frequently. You could tell how the war was, huh?
Oh, I was just thinking, you know, because remember, when I fell, well, when I passed out cold on Extreme right. Paranormal, I actually busted a tooth.
Yeah.
Because I felt the first time the one everybody saw on TV was when I had passed out behind the altar, but they don't get to see when you woke me up and I walked around the side and passed out again.
You know, I like all the people that say that was fake to call me for I could send you my bill for my chiropractor because after carrying Nathan back to the boat, my back was out, dude. I was hurting. Anyway, the war was going by how far he flung them across the room. That's how you knew he was mad or not. My father was extremely proud of those teeth, but they aren't something you keep on the mantelpiece. I didn't think it was right to keep them tucked in a drawer, adds expert Andrew Bullock. It's so quirky, one of those things which is so unusual that it could just make a huge amount of money. There you go, guys. In the news, G&D show, Churchill's false teeth go on the chopping block. So if you need some golden choppers worn by one of the great leaders in the world, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, why not? You know, I'm probably going to need dentures before long, so...
Do it. Hey, we all need dentures. All great men need dentures. Needs to have...
No, dentures, Sean, not diapers.
I like the old timers that just gave up. They're like, you know what? I'm toothless and I don't have any hair, and that's just the way it is. If you don't like it, don't look. I like that approach. I think
stop talking about me that way.
I'm going to do it. I'm giving you commit. You're not that old yet.
As I sit here eating sweet tarts out of the candy dish we have for Halloween, it's.
Yeah, what are you doing?
No kid's going to come to my house, that's for sure.
You'd steal candy from him, wouldn't you? Hey. You know, have you seen that movie Trick or Treat, man? I was watching that the other night. Greatest scary Halloween movie of our time. That's right. I'm going on the block myself. I'm telling everybody that I think that is one of the greatest films in our era about the about Halloween and everything, man. It keeps to the real side of how it was when we were kids. So you can tell the director grew up, you know, during our time, door to door. It tells you about the secrets of Halloween, man. The legends, why we do what it is that we do, like lighting the pumpkins and not blowing them out before midnight and giving out candy, stuff like that. Things that the kids need to know today.
Right, to protect themselves from the stuff in that movie.
That's right. But, you know, you're right. The things about Halloween, and, you know, I try to share this with my kids all the time, and I don't do it in a scary way, but I try to tell them about Halloween because I think it's an ancient tradition, and I know it's an ancient tradition. It predates Christianity. I don't know by how many years, but it's an old, help me out here, Demon Hunter.
Well, Samhain predates.
Right, Samhain, yeah.
Predates Christianity. You hear people throw out different numbers all the time. It's not, you know, basically there are dozens of religions and belief systems that predate Christianity, and they were all blended into Christianity because when the priests and the people from the church showed up into a new area, they'd say, well, you're going to stop practicing your traditions, and since the people didn't want to stop their traditions, they kind of blended them in. Now, right off the bat, everybody immediately says, you know, that Samhain is the blending of the tradition, but there's several different religions that actually blend into what is our common Halloween now.
Right.
There was a Roman tradition, the Festival of Apples. There was a Norse tradition this time of year, but the actual Samhain was they would bring treats to outside their town. They would go. They would take their treats. They would wear masks, and they would carry treats outside of town. So the ghosts would follow them and leave the town of everybody who died that year.
Right.
And of course, it disappeared after a while, and then years later, it was kind of brought back. But it was always kind of an adult tradition. And then in America, Halloween as a party, kind of festival, really started in America during the Depression. When parents didn't have the money to throw their big Halloween parties for adults, so they started throwing smaller Halloween parties for the children. So, you know, our American traditions of Halloween actually only date back to about the 1930s.
Okay.
Boy, I'm boring, aren't I?
What I'm saying is, I mean, if you go online, you look up the history of Halloween, anybody can tell you that the legends behind Halloween go back way, way, way long ago. I can just tell you by Celtic past, the legends from the Celtic beliefs, the Irish, Jack-o'-lantern, that's where that story comes from, about a man named Jack who was a drunkard, and he tricked the devil, and that's why he roams the earth today. And we give him candy and lay out stuff like that for him. But that's just one of the tales. There's a lot of them out there, guys. And it's just, it's an amazing night for me. And I think the kids need to know.
This is the most fantastic story I've ever heard.
Well, like, you know what I mean? Like I've told you before, Sean, my father used to tell me that we had to keep the doors locked on Halloween to keep Samhain out, which, of course, is the spelling of Samhain, you know. Right. So it's, you know, but that was our tradition, so.
Right, and...
This is the funnest night ever.
I think what you need to know is the kids need to know about Halloween. They just think it's just like Christmas. They think it's about presents and everything else, and that's all it's about. But there's so much more to it. And once you learn the true story behind it, you start looking out the window a little bit more. You start watching the leaves fall off the trees. You start enjoying the pumpkins, I think, being lit on Halloween night. You start enjoying the creepiness of the season, and you start to appreciate the respect for the dead during this season. I think it's just beautiful. I think it's stuff that poetry is made out of. Halloween, I love you.
Well, you know, Sean, one of the things that I love is we get, I'm in New England, so we get all these people who drive up from the city and from out of town to come into our area and look at the leaves change. They're all standing around watching the beautiful colors. And one day I'm sitting there with some people and pointing out to them that, you know, you're standing around watching them die. Right. That's what you're doing. They're changing color because they're not getting food. They're starving to death, okay? It's,
yeah.
I hope you're proud of yourselves, okay?
Yeah, be proud. Be loud. But, yeah, man, Halloween is definitely by far my favorite time of the season. I think it's every ghost hunter's favorite time of the season. It's just my fast. We were talking about this the other day, weren't we, Demon Hunter, about ghosts? Ghosts are a time not just for Halloween, for the seasons, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
I mean,
for Christmas.
For the holidays, yeah. Go ahead, tell. You told me all about it, Christmas.
Well, yeah, it was always a big thing in my family and a lot of the older families to sit around with the family on Christmas Eve and tell ghost stories. That was just a big thing. It was how we spent our Christmas Eves. And you told stories of Christmas past, and that's kind of, you know, the tradition that came with A Christmas Carol.
Absolutely.
One of the most famous fictional ghost stories of all time. But you've even seen my lecture where I've discussed the fact that Pelly the Younger, whose uncle named, you know, that's why we have pyroclastic flows off of volcanoes. His uncle was at Pompeii when the first volcano was measured, and, you know, they wrote down everything that happened, and that his uncle was there, and he escaped, and years later... He reported a ghost in his basement wrapped in chains, and it's the first real ghost story. You know, so.
I thought you said wrapped in change. I was like, oh, man, I wish he had haunt my basement. I'd be like, hey, man, can I get 50 cents for the Coke machine at work?
I need about 350.
Yeah, 350. That's for a Coke gun. 350. 350 for a Coke. I'll drink water.
Get out of here, you Loch Ness monster.
Yeah, I was watching some show yesterday. It was a comedy, and the kid was saying he was using he was saying something to make this kid understand something, and he was saying, you know, it's like taking 50 cents. If I had worked here, if I had a nickel for every year I worked here, I'd have 50 cents, is what he said, and I would I'd be able to play a game of, or no, I'd have 25 cents, is what he said. I'd be able to play a game of Pac-Man. And the lady was like, well, this is L.A. It costs 50 cents for a game of Pac-Man. I thought it was funny. Because, you know, when we were out in L.A., man, with my Indiana budget, when G&D's big trip to L.A., it should be like a kid's story pop-up book. Because I was so out of my element, man.
Oh, you and me both. And Jason and I got there the day before you and went out for dinner. And they put the menu in front of me, and I looked at the prices and went, I'll have the salad, thank you.
Hey, some bread and a water, your finest water from Los Angeles, please. Yeah, it's insane out there, man. I don't know how people live. The prices of houses, everything. I mean, it's a great place, I'm sure. But, hey, man, back to the cornfields for me. That's what I like. In the heartland, lost in middle America. That's where the ghost band likes to be, man. But yeah. Hey, guys, I haven't got a update on the Colts game in the chat room for a while. If you could go ahead and check that out.
Oh, my gosh, Sean.
I'm feeding, man. I need it.
Oh, my. Hey, you know, one thing I noticed, and I darned if I don't have all the information in front of me. I'll have to see if I can get it up here. But they were they discovered some new animals. Let me see if I can get the information up here, because it's fascinating.
Shuba! For sugar!
Oh, is that what it's saying? I wasn't sure. Sorry.
It's for sugar! Is that what it's saying? For We've sugar. Been playing the same stuff for like 2 years.
Well, what do I know? I know it's...
What do you know? My God, I'm going through the whole thing here while we're waiting on you.
Well, you know what? Just move on to the next thing. Let me see if I can pull up...
The new Johnny Bravo!
Johnny Bravo! That's what we should have started, man. No, we was talking about EPs before, though, man. We should have went with that name, Playing With Fire, instead of throwing out their Extreme Paranormal.
Well, you know, that wasn't our choice. That was kind of A&E's choice, because it was more TiVo, and people could program their computers for or their TVs to bring them up anything paranormal.
Right.
So it, that's how, oh, here it is. In New Guinea. New species have been discovered, including, and this thing is the most ugly thing you've ever seen in your life, but at treehugger.com, you can check it out. But they've discovered a new fruit bat, and they call, and I swear, man, it looks like a monkey and a bat had sex, and this was the result.
It's, ooh, we're getting dirty.
It's bad. But
a monkey and a sex monkey and a what had sex? It sounds like a beginning bat. Of a bar joke or something. You know what I mean?
A monkey and a bat walk into a bar kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and a priest. You got to throw in a priest. sorry folks, it's
A priest, a rabbi, and a minister walk into a bar, and devil's standing behind the bar, bartending, and he looks up and says, "Is this a joke?" But, it's a...
Call me Whiskers!
It's a tube-nosed fruit bat.
Tube-nosed!
Tube-nosed. And I swear to gosh, if you go to treehugger.com, this is probably the freakiest thing. It's under their files for 2010. It's treehugger.com/files/2010/10, and then a whole bunch of other things, featuring -new-species-found. It'll go on forever. I'll have to post it in the forums. But
I'm interested. Now you got me interested.
It's a tube-nosed bat. And I swear, it looks like the eyes on this thing, its mouth, its nose, its ears, it looks like it was designed in like a back room at a Hollywood studio. It's the freakiest looking thing I've ever seen. But apparently these guys went to New Guinea for a 2-month long exploration.
And always starts in New Guinea, doesn't it?
You know, it always, well, that or, what was it, Manila?
Right.
where they love us.
I mean, it happens out in Manila too.
But, you know, this thing, it's the picture keeps pointing. I got to scroll down so I can't look at the picture because it keeps distracting me.
You know you want to look at it. Look at it.
They found over 200 species that have never been recorded. And this tube-nosed fruit bat was one of them. And my God, man, this is just an incredible-looking creature. And I recommend everybody go check it out.
Right. You know, I think our listeners could possibly be the dirtiest bunch of people on the face of the planet. And I'm proud to say they listen to the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show. As you can imagine the jokes in the chat room right now about tube-nosed, bottle-nosed bat or whatever.
Well, I think it would have been hysterical if they had let us be this way on Extreme Paranormal.
No, I think it was. Isn't that why they discovered us in the first place, guys? It was this little radio show we do called the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show, live every Sunday night. And they said, hey, man, we like you guys' style. And, you know, we started and we go, oh, man, we're going to be so funny. We're going to do this. And they're like, yeah, this is going to be spooky. So we're like,
the day before, they said, we don't want you guys to be funny.
Yeah, funny doesn't work in Hollywood, but it does. It does. And hopefully we get another shot, guys, because if we do, we ain't backing down. It's Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show through and through, 100%, or it ain't nothing.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's funny when you look at the stuff that happened that you guys just didn't get to see, like Sean crashing the car.
on a golf course. There was like six drunk fat guys in goofy golf pants watched me crash the car, man.
And we actually got it on film, and that I think that should have made it to Extreme Paranormal.
Maybe we should save it. Maybe somebody has the deleted scenes. They're just saving it for us to come back at it, you know?
That would be great. That really would be great.
You guys should write somebody and demand the deleted scenes to Extreme Paranormal, because you guys would cry watching us, because it was just, I mean, from the farts to the, didn't Gowan like fart every time he went to move? I mean, it was, they had to cut, they cut out a man's fart. I wonder how many times that happens in Hollywood, you know? I mean, how many times, honestly, do they, the big stars have gas? I mean, think about it.
The first night we're filming and it kept happening, Jason looks up and goes, I should have told you I'm a nervous farter.
Dude, that was too much. That
and
was
then
too
the,
much.
Way I,
even,
the way
we
I
couldn't even film half the time. We were laughing so hard.
The way the fact that every time we'd stop filming, I was going water.
Right. Well, we aren't true Hollywood stars like some, you know.
Matt Damon.
So we got to work. We got to work on that. Work on our angle. But we're getting there, guys. We're getting there. You know, we stars. We are not. They just.
I personally think they should have sent cameramen out to us and filmed us on the way to the events. Because I think it would have been hysterical to get it on film, the fact that the first day I showed up at the airport, they started checking my bags, and none of the guys behind the counter would handle anything once they pulled out, like, a chicken foot and all this voodoo stuff. And they literally, like, call me over, and I'm looking at my stuff, and they're like, what is this? I'm like, oh, it's for voodoo. And nobody would touch it to put it back in the bag.
Sir, what is this blow-up sheep that is in your bag here? Oh, that's for the ritual.
That's for Sean Burris.
Hey, we're not giving out last names here. It's the Ghost Man.
It's the Ghost Man.
Or Johnny Bravo.
Johnny Bravo.
Johnny Bravo, Ghost Man. Thank you.
Hey, man, I think we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have a guest for the evening.
All right, I'm going to go upstairs and refill my stein, everybody. So stay tuned, because up next, we got zombies eating your brains into the night. Stay tuned, guys.
And I'm going to finish smoking my Camacho cigar that I picked up at Butthead's Tobacco Emporium. While I listen to Girl Scouts I don't know.
I never was in the Girl Scouts, but I did eat a brownie once. That's terrible. That's terrible. I seen that on a movie, guys, so don't blame me. Blame Hollywood.
The comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
Just saying, I ate a brownie. I had a brownie. I like brownies. Hey, that's been done. They can't blame us, man. That can't come back. That stuff's been done. Hey, give me about 6 minutes or five. Well, our commercial's not too long. Give me a couple minutes to fill up my stein, man.
Well, I'll give you about 4 minutes, and then we'll be back after listening to Raul Julia is Dead.
You give me 20. Stay tuned, everybody.
Are you looking for your favorite paranormal podcast? Well, come and visit us at planetparanormal.com. We are your guide to the other side. Come and check out our hub to see all our latest podcasts from your favorite paranormal celebrities. And don't forget to check out our news feeds to see what's late great in the paranormal community, as well as events coming to a town near you. Come visit us on the web at www.planetparanormal.com. That's www.planetparanormal.com.
Thank you.
What is the darker side of the moon, Laura? It is a radio show that discusses weird news, strange happenings, and strange people. Yeah. And it's once a week. Once a week. Just once a week. That's not too much to ask. No, it's not. But if you really like it and you want to listen to it every day, you can listen on the podcast. And how do you do that, Becky?
Check us out on iTunes, or you can find us at our website at darkersideradio.com. For Darker Side of the Moon with Becky Ray and
Laura Moon. Yay. Check the website for showtimes and dates.
Yes, because we're always moving about. Because we like to keep you on your toes. Gotcha.
This is T. Thorne Coyle, and you are listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
All you heathens and hooligans, come on and get the hell out of here.
I'm not wearing any underwear.
Hey, Sean, I forgot to announce out there to everybody, if they can go to our website at ghostanddemon.com. There's a link on there to find Chrissy Peterson Schoonover's new book, Skeletons in the Swimming Hole, Tales from Haunted Disney World. So that's Skeletons in the Swimming Hole, Tales from Haunted Disney World by Chrissy Peterson Schoonover. Chrissy P., who has done our book reviews on here on the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show. So.
Oh, dude, she rocks. She rocks. You got to check out her book.
No, speak English.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's she's putting out so many books, man. I tell you, she's going to be the one. We're going to be begging for a job from her. We'll be like, hey, Chrissy.
I already am. What are you talking about? Who do you, honey, can I go out and drink?
Be like, hey, sweetie pie, can I write a book with you or something? I can draw pictures. I can do pictures. I can do illustrations. That's what they call it.
We need a lot of stick figures for this book. So it's
I can draw a skeleton. Thank you very much.
I can't draw a straight line, so I can't walk one either. So it's
the coolest thing though. I took the boys out today and Sissy, and we went down to the local Village Pantry. That's right, Village Pantry. Hope you sponsor us someday, guys. But anyway, we had the. You guys remember the candy? It was the hard candy when we were kids, and they had the coffin and the bones. Mr. Bones was in it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They brought it back, man. I bought like 20 of them, and I loved them. I've been eating them all night. So I've been doing beer and I've been doing water and. Candy. So
that's like I was in a small little like country store. I went in Newtown, Connecticut. They have the Old Town Hall has a theater in it, and they show like the $2 movies. We went in and saw the A-Team and Disney's some kind of the Sorcerer's Apprentice, something like that. But next door there's an old country store, and they had candy cigarettes inside.
No way!
They did, and I thought they'd outlawed these things. And I was like, I bought like 3 packs of them, and I ate them all on the way home.
Dude, they did outlaw those. They did outlaw those somewhere. I mean, they don't give those out to everybody anymore. Because were they the kind that you could puff in and see the sugar?
They had
smoke
both kind. Yeah, they had both kind. That's the ones I bought, the bubblegum ones that you could puff on once, and they put out this little burst of sugar.
Right, right. Well, you know, man, what are you going to do? But tonight's guest, we got him live in the studio, man. I can't even talk. I can't even talk right now because this cat is more of a zombie freak than me. And we've always said, Demon Hunter, if somebody finds a way to bring the paranormal and the horror community together, and let's just mesh one big family, guys, and interweave and start, you know, making babies and stuff. You know what I'm trying to get at. Anyway, tonight's guest, guys, he's doing it. He's doing it tonight on our show live, Horror Meets Paranormal. Series creator, director, and so much more, Patrick Devaney. Patrick, what's going on, man?
How you guys doing out there?
We're doing good, Patrick. I was looking at your guys' bios, and I see that you guys are from New York.
Yeah, we're all born and bred. New York City.
New York City. Closest I ever came to living in New York City was Yonkers, and I think that's not technically... I don't think that's technically New York City, but I did enjoy...
Yeah, we call that upstate.
Yeah, I did enjoy being able to order a pastrami sandwich at 3 in the morning and have it delivered. It was a wonderful feeling to do that.
Oh, hell yeah.
See, I'm in a cornfield, guys, so you're talking about pastrami sandwiches at 3 a.m. We can't even get one at 8 p.m. out here, okay? Because, I forgot, we can't even get one all day. It's Sunday. The churches are open, so it's illegal to sell meat. Yeah, apparently the grocery stores will be closed. So if you're starving to death on Sundays, that's okay. Go to church, and they'll have a picnic. No, I'm kidding. It's a good town to live in. I thought I'd mention it since you boys are talking about, you know, New York and Connecticut and all these high-tax places that I can't afford.
Oh, jeez.
At least you guys got candy.
Forget about it.
Oh my God! I just got into a Sopranos episode.
Now wouldn't here? I'm gonna throw right off this off the bat. Wouldn't New York City? I am always ashamed of myself, but I'm ashamed more of Sean. Wouldn't New York City be like the first place to fall in a zombie attack?
I don't know, man. We got a lot of people here. We got a lot of tough sons of bitches here, so I'm not entirely sure. The gun situation might be tough because not a lot of us love to have them. But we'd fight back with anything we had. So yeah, it's the perfect place for fighting zombies.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing, Patrick. We're going to talk about this tonight. Now, I don't want you to, bust your bubble right out the top because we got to get to all this, how you started, what's going on. But me and Nathan have been fighting to the death, man, for years. In case of a zombie attack, I think I know more. In case of a zombie attack, Nathan thinks he knows more. Trying to lead the peeps on Facebook to a safer tomorrow by knowing your plan, how to get to safety in case of the zombie apocalypse, which is coming. It's coming any day. You know that, Patrick. So I'm trying to warn people, and Nathan shoots me down and tells me how my plan sucks. Okay. So we're going to go over that with you a little bit later.
We want you to listen to the show, and at the end of the show, tell us which one of us would be most likely to survive a zombie attack. Yeah. Because
I'll definitely let you know that, yeah.
It's
I'd eat my way out. Yeah!
See, yeah, there's baby. Sean's problem right off the bat. He's going to starve to death the third day into a zombie attack. It's
I told you, I'm going zombie anyway, so if they get me, I really don't care, you know? I'm doing everything. So, Patrick, you got everything going on, man, and I love your style. I love your hats off to you, brother, because you know what you did. You did what we did. You went out there, and you didn't care what anybody else said. You said, you know what, I'm doing this, and nobody's going to stop me, and this is what happened, and look what you got now. You got zombiehuntershow.com, and you got all these zombie clips that you directed, and I believe you wrote all of them. I mean, tell us about that. How does young Patrick grow up dreaming about zombies, man? What was your childhood like?
Oh, yeah, I blame my mother constantly. When I was born, she was sitting me down in front of the TV watching the first run, Dark Shadows, and she's like, okay, that's a vampire, and that's Angelique, she's a witch, and, you know, I'm 6 months old, so I absorbed all that crap, and it just started from there and just never stopped.
That's it.
Never stopped.
Now,
God bless your mother because I love her already. That's how my mom was, man. Ghost stories and late night horror shows on Friday and Saturday night, baby.
Now, see, my father used to tell me all those stories, and my mother tried to protect me from them. But I'm really glad that my father did tell me the stories because I don't think I'd be prepared for the world that we live in now and the chance of zombie attack had I, just stayed in the corner the way my mother had told me to all the time.
Absolutely, yeah. You got to prepare people young for this kind of thing.
Now, here's my question. Every time you see a zombie movie, there's only like 3 survivors or 7 survivors or whatever, and they come across another group of 7 survivors or however many there are. Now, why do such small groups make it and large groups that would be able to defend themselves as a mob die out faster?
Well, it's easier to hide a smaller group if you find a place to hide. Standard apartment, you can pretty much squeeze in about a dozen different people. You've got 30 or 40, they're all going to start fighting over the water, the supplies, the ammunition, and then more importantly, who's in charge. So you got a smaller group, one person's definitely going to be the leader and be able to direct the rest. You got 40 or 50, you got 7 or 8 guys who want to be the leader, everyone's going to kill each other.
Ah, see, Sean, so right off the bat, you'd have to learn to take orders from me.
Man, what are you talking about? I'd have to save you, man. Your brains would be on the sidewalk within like 15 seconds. You'd be like, hey, man, I'm going out to check them. Oh, it's a zombie. You'd just freeze. I'd have to save you. I'll save you, though, because I love you guys. I'll save you all. Don't worry.
Oh, gee, thanks, Sean.
Now I could actually bore a zombie to sleep with my segment on the show. That's, that's how I can do it, man. Patrick, you got everything going. How do you start, man, to all these inspiring directors out there? How do you get started and build an empire like what you got going on right now? How do you do it? A lot of good friends, a lot of beer, what?
Oh, yeah, well, a lot of beer and a lot of good friends. Some of the guys on the show, my co-star and producer, Chris Murphy, we met in first day of first grade, and we've been friends ever since. That's a long, long time ago. A lot of the guys on the show I've known 30, 35 years. It's been nuts. But we've been having an absolute blast. But starting it out, it's just the love of this kind of shit, especially George Romero. I mean, Dawn of the Dead, that changed my life, you know. And And after that, I found so many other kinds of zombie things and zombie movies and books and everything else, and I was just fascinated with the concept since about 1978, so, yeah.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, man, the last good zombie movie, of course, anything by Romero. I mean, my God, that man's name should be in the Bible. I mean, that guy right there, Romero, yeah, George Romero, it should be in Genesis. In the beginning, you had Romero.
Not only is Sean dying in a zombie attack, but he is going to hell. So,
yeah, but then I could get a job from Romero because I'm putting him on that show, so. I could be a cool zombie, but you know, you got people like Patrick coming up here, man. And what happened was I was just watching Shaun of the Dead again last night. One of my faves, man. Right? I never got British humor, okay? I lived through the whole she's a witch, burn her. Monty Python. Yeah, I did that. I'd get some British humor there, but when Shaun of the Dead came out, I got it, man. I got the zombies. I got the humor from A to B. I got it all the way through the show. Great show. But I tell you, I've been watching Patrick's stuff, guys, at his website, and
Zombie
you guys
zombiehuntershow.com.
You guys have got to check this out, because I believe, in my own opinion, that Patrick rivals a lot of the stuff that's out there right now. Patrick doesn't rival. I think he blows away some of the competition, especially on a lot of channels that I'm not going to name, because hopefully we'll get picked up on one of those. But Patrick, you do, bro. You do. Your stuff is amazing. I love it. I was watching it last night. I had to turn it off because the kids were still waking. I just got through Facebook and you last night, and the kids passed out. I watched all your episodes, like four or five of them.
Oh, great, man. Thank you. I'm glad you guys are enjoying them so much. We have a panic, Bob, putting them together and showing them over here in New York. And you know, I get email from people all the time saying, hey, listen, you know, there should have been something like this on, you know, 10 years ago. And when's the next one coming out? We got guys walking up to us at conventions and saying, hey, new shows? They won't even say hello anymore. They just say, hey, new shows? And I hand them a DVD, and they hand me $10. I say, thank you very much. And they walk away.
Yeah. Well, you know what's so cool, Patrick? Being a ghost investigator, what I've done for the last 13 years or whatever, and going out to these places. First of all, I was a horror fan, and then I went into ghost hunting, and because I grew up in a haunted house, and I started thinking, hey, there's something to this, man. It's not all in the movies. There's real life spooks out there. So I started investigating those, but I still love the horror shows. And I gotta tell you, the biggest fear of all these great paranormal investigators that are out there today, I tell you what, you show them, you take them to a funeral home late at night with the bodies laid out. You guys know what I'm talking about, the silken lace in the coffins and the low lamps. I think it's silk anyway. Kind of freaked out, you know, material they use in the coffins. And you take them in there late at night with the low lamps burning stuff. You show me one that ain't going to look over his shoulder when a mouse farts or something in that place, and I'll kiss you right now on the lips in public.
Well, you know, Sean, I am really impressed with the way you put that whole dialogue together, because
thank you. I've been reading the dictionary.
I don't think that anyone could have like subliminally put more messages into that whole thing than you did.
It's what I do, Nathan. It's what I do.
But,
thank you.
But you know, one of the things I've always wondered too is, you know, one of my favorite movies of all time, the original version of when I Am Legend came out with Vincent Price as the last man on Earth. One of the best flicks of all time. He came on, but the thing was, there were people who had a partial immunity, and it went on later on in Omega Man, you know, where some people had a partial immunity to the disease. And I often wondered, why do like in zombie movies, does no one ever have like a partial immunity and becomes a half zombie?
Well, I don't know about half zombie, but we're kind of tackling a little bit of that. We haven't shown much of it yet, but not everyone comes back in our zombie world, and eventually we get into why that's happening, because everyone's kind of debating right now: is it a virus? Is it this? Is it you know, the end of the world? Is it the Bible? Everyone's has a different theory on it, but some people don't come back after they're dead. They just dead. So we're trying to figure out why that's happening too. But half zombie, the only time I've seen that was Return of the Living Dead, when they slowly became zombies. So at some point they were kind of zombies and kind of alive. And that kind of freaked me out too.
You know,
I had all their memories and shit.
But I've often wondered, you know, with the zombie disease spreading, you know, science is one of those things where, you know, the biggest advances in science always happen during war, because doctors and triage find ways to patch things up really fast. Why in these zombie movies nobody ever finds like something to slow down the process, you know, and that so they're partial zombie, but they're not quite.
Well, we just finished up episode 7, and that episode deals with that. We encounter a doctor who claims to have a cure for it, and we're thinking it's a cure to end it. And she's like, no, it just makes sure that, you know, it either slows it down or it makes them not come back. They're still going to die. They just don't come back. She's convinced this thing works, and we risk life and limb, and not everybody comes out of that one alive. And when they finally do get her test subject, things don't end exactly how she planned. They end pretty badly, actually. So they're still trying to figure it out, but, you know, it's a tough one.
So that's episode 7, right? That's Dead Harry meets Corpse Sally. I can't wait. Get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? You get it.
I will destroy it.
That's right, I will.
Now, when you get something like this going on, and obviously, you know, friends of yours are helping you out doing the show and things like that.
Sorry, guys. It was the machine.
We have a ghost in the house. The ghost of William Shatner. His career is dead. But
he's back. You said it. I didn't. You didn't. Pick me up, William. I'll do your show. What's it called?
Poor Bill Shatner.
Oh, but you know what? I'm a Trekkie. I'm not a Trekker, but I'm a Trekkie, and I do really love William Shatner. But it was a joke that had to go out there. But how do you decide when you're writing these things and you have friends involved that, you know, okay, you know, Billy, you've been my best friend since grade school, but your character's gonna die. You know, it's that can't be easy to do.
Yeah, well, that is a tough one, and like I said, like, you know, not everyone makes it out of here. Usually, if somebody either starts a family or moves away, something like that, then we start killing them off, and then they can understand why. We can always use that as an excuse. So in one case, you know, a girl, you know, did have a baby and moved away at the same time. So we're like, okay, now we got to shoot you in the head.
Well, can't see with zombies ruling the earth, there's just not enough plastic surgeons out there to say, well, he had plastic surgery and now he looks totally different. And by the way, we changed his voice and the way he walks and everything else too.
But, you know, the thing about zombies is, and let's talk about this, the perfect way, Patrick, to kill a zombie brother. Now, I know you know how, because I've seen your shows, right? I've seen you doing the interviews with your whole fleet of military—I don't know, what do you call it—the machine guns, the grenades, the everything you guys use, which is crazy.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
oh,
man. Yeah. I mean, is it a headshot? Because people have been saying in the chat room that, and I've heard this before. Sarah just said that the best way is a blade, man, because it don't need reloading. You know, I've heard that before.
Yeah, the blade's tough because you got to get up nice and close and personal. I mean, you don't need to reload it, but you have to be right on it. And if you don't know what you're doing and you miss, they're on you. You swing it too hard, you spin around, they're behind you.
Now, with your zombies, is it one bite or one scratch? Or does it matter? You're infected.
No, see, that's a big problem because most of the people in our zombie world believe it's through bites. So people are getting bitten and their friends are shooting them in the head. But it doesn't necessarily go through bites. And we're trying to spread the word. Like, listen, we know guys that are bitten, and they're surviving. It's not a virus. But there's a lot of people that are disagreeing with that, too.
That's very last man on earth. Yeah. Now, can somebody get bitten and start to get sick, but then not change?
That can happen, but it's usually through blood loss.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Corpse says bazookas are the way to go. I agree. I don't want to get that close to these things. I just want to blow them up, man. You get like 16 of them together and bazooka them. Boom! Gone. Problem solved.
Now, seeing that I'm from Connecticut and I am a licensed gun carrier, right off the bat, does that give me a better chance than Sean?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, come on! Hey, man, I got a lot of cornfields to hide in. You guys are mainstream out there, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, you've been to my house, Sean. There's nothing mainstream about the woods I live in.
Listen, you and Patrick could survive the zombie apocalypse in New York and all these cool places, right? And then all of a sudden, when you guys got to travel through the middle of America and you're out in the cornfields going, oh, I think we're safe. I'm going to be the fat kid that jumps out and bites your arm, okay?
Just remember, Sean, that... I watched Zombieland, and driving down the road in the middle of nowhere, they did come across a zombie eating a guy. So,
that's true. That's true. But I know how to run. I've been doing cardio. And that's the first rule of Zombieland, cardio, baby.
Now, when new zombie movies come out, are you like the first guy, Patrick, out there in line, ready to see the new zombie movies?
No, to tell you the truth, I'm really not. A lot of my guys are, though, and then they'll call me and say, hey, listen, ignore these three, but you got to see this one. They're trying to do it like we are, or they do something else like we are, or they, hey, this is really good, you got to check this out, a great new story, or something like that. But in general, no, I'm not watching a lot of zombie stuff, a lot of vampire stuff at all. The guys that are working on the show, mostly, we're just working on the show. And I'm a little oblivious to it all out there. I saw Zombieland about a year after it was out, so I'm a little backtracked with that stuff.
Well, what you've done with your shows, clearly, you're not corrupted by the mainstream stuff, and you took zombies old school, man. I mean, it's the old school type of zombie that creeps up on you. Oh, my God, we're safe. Ah! You know, it's not the, oh, man, look, it's another zombie. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what you've done, man, hats off. I mean, it got you. I mean, there's a lot of parts in your shows where I jumped. You know what I'm saying? I'm proud to say that I jumped. I was like, oh, didn't see that coming. You know what I'm saying?
That makes me very, very happy. Believe me.
That's up there. That's up there with Romero, brother. Just like, oh man, which was the one with John Leguizamo or what's his last name?
City of the Dead. Land is dead.
Yeah, it's the one of the greats, man. And you know when he's talking to his buddy and he takes that headshot out there at the end and he goes back to reach his buddy and pat him on the shoulder and that nasty rotten skeletons there and he bites him on the arm. He's like, oh no, man, I made it all the way to the end. This guy gets me. He just came out of nowhere. That's the kind of stuff that your films have, and that's what I love, man. That's why all our listeners gotta go check it out right away.
Oh man, thank you. I'm so glad you're digging that. Yeah, we love that shit too. I mean, we love having the old school stuff. Everything is CGI today, and that has a time and place, but you know, for the real effects, the real stuff like Tom Savini innovated, things like that, that's what we love. And Mike Scardillo, my special effects guy, we agreed early on, if we were going to do this, let's do it the right way. We're not going to do CGI. If we're going to blow someone's head off, we're blowing a head off. If we're going to shoot somebody 15 times, we're shooting someone 15 times.
Oh, yeah. And overkill.
You know, I was going to ask a moment ago if Sean and I make it out to New York, if you can make us zombies. But if you're shooting people 15 times, I don't want to be a part of this.
I do. Kill me, baby.
Yeah, sometimes it's unpleasant. Our buddy Ralph got shot a couple of times. He found it unpleasant. But most people survive it. So you guys come out here, we'll definitely kill you in creative ways. I'd love to do it.
That's what rocks, Patrick, with your shows, man. I mean, that's the best, right? I mean, if you're going to overdo it and put the comedy in it. If you shoot a guy 30 times and he falls down and then on your way out you say something real cool and shoot him in the head one more time for good measure. I mean, that's what makes the show. That's awesome. You know, and another thing I wanted to say, when did we get away from the funeral homes and the cemetery? Man, that's what gets me going, brother. I know that's what cooks you guys, too, because we're from the same 70s, 80s kind of genre there, man. I mean, there ain't nothing spookier then going to a funeral home and being there, just being there, man. The smell, everything, the flowers, everything, just nasty, right? And it's creepy. And you're there, and then you're thinking the whole time, I don't care who you are or what state of mind you're in, you're always thinking, what if the zombies come back today? You're always thinking. It's always in the back of your head. I hate to be the one to say it. It was said here live on G&D, but it's true, man. What happened to that?
I don't know. I agree with you, though. Yeah, I mean, there hasn't been a time in my life I haven't gone to a funeral for anyone. It doesn't matter who it is. And I start thinking, okay, if it happened today, what in the hell would I do first? And I don't want to be in the basement of the place. I want to be standing right by the door and get the hell on out of there.
No, man, I'm telling you, they had the right idea in Return of the Living Dead, okay, one of the greats, where the mortician and the girl, if she wasn't screaming like a mad woman, they would have made it. He got up above the, they were back in the, what do you call the place where they prep the bodies and stuff? The morgue. And they crawled up into the crawl space up in the attic. And he was perfect, man. He wedged a board across it. And, of course, at the end, you see the guy break it through, which would never happen, guys. Trust me. I know these things. But, you know, he was up there. And zombies, in those days, zombies don't have speed, a lot of them. I mean, I know in a lot of movies you see a lot of crazy zombies. But you got to look at it realistically. These cats, a lot of them are starting to rot, right? Your joints are starting to stiffen up. You're not having a great day if you're a zombie, okay? So you're not at your best performance.
Sounds like my typical morning. But
right. I could throw in so much there, but I won't. But anyway, man, that's the way to go, man. The attic, guys, is the safe place to go because there. Listen, I'm gonna throw it out here, Patrick. I'm gonna throw it out here. All right, I'm gonna do it.
You got it.
Grab your food and your guns and your ammo and stash them in the attic because if zombies hit, you take your family, you go up to the attic. And I'm telling you, there's only one way in. Actually, there's two ways in. But zombies ain't going to be strong enough to start ripping through the roof, okay? And first of all, they ain't going to be on your roof because they're too weak to climb up there. So if they do come in, they find out the crawl space in the attic and you're up there and you got stuff wedged against it. Let me tell you something. You lose a little something when you're pushing up. When you're pushing down or against something like the door to the downstairs basement, you're going to get in sooner or later with enough force behind that. Upstairs, they can only get one or two up there to push at a time. And you're going to make it, man. You're going to be home free. And if they do get in, then you just rip a hole in the roof and you got the high ground, baby. And anybody will tell you military tactics, the high ground is the way to go. Thank you. Good night.
I'm telling you, Sean, you don't do it. You get into the car with your loved ones, your food, your guns, and you head up to a mountain retreat where the water's clean and you can pack yourself in and board it up like John Wayne in any movie he's ever been in, and you hold them off with your weapons and you lock yourself up and you keep yourself clean and you go somewhere where there's just not a lot of people.
I'm sorry, Demon Hunter, you cannot go True Grit on the undead. You can't do it. I tell you what, Patrick, help this man redeem himself. Come in. This is our field correspondent, Patrick. He knows zombies like the back of his hand. Patrick, help him redeem himself. Tell us how it's going to happen. How can we be safe?
Okay, well, that's always been the real argument with the original Night of the Living Dead. I don't mean to blaspheme Romero's first, big movie, Ben's arguing about the living room, okay? Harry's fighting about the basement. All those tools and all that time, they can put everybody upstairs, two guys knock down the staircase, everyone stay up on the second floor, and just like you said, you have the whole second floor, you can call for help, you can snipe out the windows, they can't climb up, they can't get through the roof, and if they do somehow get up there, or once someone else dies, you can go into the top attic or out the roof. Exactly like you said, but if you don't have a place like that, like I do, I live in a building that's all brick and there's a family above me. I can't get to them. They can't get to me. If I have to get out of here, and technically I do live on an island, so we're eventually going to run out of food. We don't have unlimited supplies. We got rivers everywhere, and the first thing that's going to happen, in all the modern movies at least, the government's going to come, and they're going to take out all the bridges to New York, so I know I'm screwed. So I have to start swimming, or I have to get the hell out of here fast.
You're going to have to come to Indiana, bro. You're going to have to come to Indiana. Go ahead and fly the family out this week. I'll take care of it.
Yeah. If I can get upstate past Yonkers and pass up there, I'll be good. I'll be good.
Come to Connecticut, man. Come to Connecticut. We'll just jump in the car. We'll drive away. That's the way it is.
Exactly.
That's it, man. I'm telling you, that we I love zombies, and I love them coming back from the dead. And I was talking to you, Patrick, about the perfect Halloween costume. If you guys think about it, the zombie is the perfect animal. That's why it's the cheapest Halloween costume. You just need some face paint because the scariest thing is ourselves. And that's what zombies are all about, man. And when we did late night horror fright night host Sammy Terry, which, oh my God, what an honor just to say his name on the air. He came on, and one thing he told me and Nathan off the air, if you remember this, Nate, he said, guys, when Sammy first went on the air, Patrick, back in the 1960s back here, and he did Fright Theater here in Indianapolis, Indiana, he said, we got the Fright Package, which was the old Boris Karloffs and the Frankensteins and the Dragon, the good, the Wolfman, man, Mummy, stuff like that. He said, did you ever see them kill anybody? I said, well, no, sir. I guess I didn't. And he said, no, but you just assumed, didn't you? Because the way they did it, he said, it's the things you don't see, or it's the demons within that are the scariest things you'll see in life. And he's right, man. He's got a point right there.
He is. And, it's something the new movies have missed because so many of them want the blood and gore. And, that's cool that we can do that now. But there's stuff that happens that if you see if three friends are in a room and one's bitten and he's starting to change and they're in a room together and all you hear is a gunshot and then two people leave the room, you know what happened. And your mind can make a whole lot more up than seeing a lot of blood and guts.
Absolutely, we're doing something real similar to that. Yeah, we're starting to show when it really happens, when it really hits bad. Because right now in the show, people are still in denial about it. The police, by the eighth episode, the police and the authorities are finally admitting that yes, this is what's going on. This has been going on for months. Most New Yorkers are like, it's something else. It isn't this. And by that time, it's already too late. And we're showing what people do in those rooms, and it's true. Like, so a lot of the ideas we had were, what do we show here? What do we show happening in these houses, especially all these apartment buildings here? What's going to go on in them? And I think that you're right in that. You know, you show it and show every single headshot. Well, after a while, you're desensitized to it. But you show something, a flash, and there's a couple of, you know who got out of there. Oh, what did they do? You know?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, one of the things that really got me, too, is I just recently watched the movie Piranha in 3D.
Okay.
And I don't know if you saw it, but there's like a scene in it that is 20 minutes of piranhas attacking people. Now, I don't know if you, if you ever watched the original Piranha, but they never had that happen. You know, it was like you saw some piranhas, people were crawling out of the water, bitten. In this one, it's 20 minutes of people getting eaten and their bodies falling apart and getting cut up to pieces and blah, blah,
yeah.
blah.
Right.
And, you know, for the first 8 minutes or so, I was enjoying it. And about 10, 12 minutes, I'm like, all right, when is this going to, stop? And by the 20th minute, I'm sitting there going, really? Really? We needed 20 minutes of people getting eaten?
It was a political statement, Demon Hunter.
Yes.
Look into it, man.
I'm sure it was. But personally, I just was watching it, and I couldn't understand why. It was like they had a whole bunch of people who were just out of film school, who had just learned how to do all this new blood and gore stuff, and they wanted to fit it all into one movie.
Right. No. Don't leave anything on the floor. Just include everything. We'll make it 90 minutes long.
And I think if they had a few 5 minutes of people getting attacked, and then 5 minutes of people crawling out of the water and in pain and whatever, that would have been enough.
Oh,
but,
hell yeah.
But, you know, it was 20 minutes of people getting eaten alive.
I always go back to Hitchcock. I always go back to Psycho. We were just talking about this yesterday. That whole shower scene is one of the scariest things to this day I have ever seen. And there isn't a single moment of violence in it. You never see the blade go into that woman. You never see her naked. You never see anything. It's her screaming and suggestions of what goes on. And it scared the hell out of me to this day.
And when you realize that the blood going down the drain was chocolate syrup, it gives you a whole new candy kind of idea of the show.
blood, how sweet it is, man.
Here's another question for you, since you're the zombie man. Do you think that zombieism is just an advanced form of vampirism? Since they're both living dead, and they both need human flesh and blood and things like that, is zombieism just an advanced form of it?
Well, the first zombies, what we call them today, really do go back to I Am Legend and that first Vincent Price movie, just like you said. It goes right back to that. They were really zombies, but they were also vampires.
Right.
They were the Walking Dead, and they were out for people. It very well could be. If it's viral, it could be. But if it's something else, if it's something supernatural, that's a whole other world.
Now, what if zombieism goes airborne?
Oh, then you're screwed.
Yeah, you're screwed, man.
And we even talk about that because we're trying to argue about what the hell it is. And two of the hunters, one's a doctor and one's a nurse. They both work at the same hospital, and the characters are, and they're arguing back and forth about what this can possibly be. And someone's saying, well, you know, maybe it's in all of us to begin with. And one's saying, well, then it's genetic. Well, maybe it's airborne. It's like, well, if it's airborne, we're all screwed. And then we start realizing, oh wow, what the hell, man? what is this damn thing?
Yeah.
If it's airborne, though, oh yeah, we're in trouble.
Hey, Patrick, what do you think, going back to a previous question, why do you think a lot of filmmakers have gotten away from the funeral home, the old phantasm? Hey, you go see grandpa and all of a sudden he's out trying to eat your brains at night and, stuff like that. Why have we gotten away from, was it too personal, the graveyards and the mortuary, stuff like that, or what?
I think it might have been, but I think that a lot of people are afraid that's going to look cheesy today, and I disagree. I mean, I think that's still, the basis of it. Where are most people, most people associate with death in the real world? And it's funeral parlors and cemeteries. You know, it's not the shopping mall, So I don't know. I think that a lot of times people think that it's just too cheesy or it's been done before. But then what they do is they wind up doing the same exact thing about, four teenagers in a cabin in the woods. I mean, Sam Raimi perfected that and hasn't been done better since 1982. So
absolutely.
I don't know, but we have to get back to that. The original Phantasm, I can watch that today and still be as freaked out as I was the first time I saw it when I was 11.
Yeah, man, and I'm just saying, Patrick, and that's one thing I always tell people when, you know, I do the paranormal side of it, and if they say, yeah, that ain't my thing, I always say, listen, if you're not into, you know, the zombies and the whole, you know, what happens in the afterlife and do ghosts exist, all that stuff, I guarantee you, when you're drawing your last breath, you're going to be the biggest fan of what happens to you next. I'm telling you, you're going to want to know. I'm telling you, it's a part of life. It happens. I'm not saying all zombies are going to come back, although they are real soon. Guys, watch out. They're coming, man. I can smell it in the air. It might happen this month. It might happen tonight. I don't know. I think I heard one outside in the garbage can. But anyway, what's going on here is like when they remade, I think it was 1980, Patrick, when they remade Night of the Living Dead, okay? It wasn't as good as the black and white, some people say. I say I thought it was great. I grew up with color, though, man. I was 75, baby, you know? 1975, we had color. And
oh, please, I didn't have my first color TV until like 1986, so...
Right. Well, see, I remember my mom saying The Wizard of Oz. Oh, it was great. And yeah, The Wizard of Oz closed. I always looked for the munchkin that supposedly hung himself and all that stuff in the background. But I remember when everything went to color, and I'm like, well, what's the big deal? I don't get it. You know what I'm saying? She's like, oh, man, back in my day, son, that was the biggest thing. And I get it now. I do. But, you know, I grew up in a different era. So when they came out in 1980 with the remake, and you've seen that they're coming to get you, Barbara, you know, and she's out in the cemetery, and this cat's walking up to her, and she's like, be quiet. He'll hear you, you know. And her brother's messing with her in the cemetery, and you see this guy walking up to her, you know, and he's all creepy, and he's wearing this suit, and then you start seeing this suit starts coming down him. Well, you see the back's been cut open like they say they do to the bodies, with the, you know, to put it on and put them in the coffin. And then you see the autopsy scar. I mean, come on, man. You know what I'm saying? She's stuck in this mortuary. It's like The Mummy, man. The zombies ain't supposed to run. They're supposed to be right there out of reach. Oh, my God, girl, get out of the room. Get out of the room. You know what I mean? But she can't run fast enough. There they are, and they get her, and they eat her brains, and blood splatters everywhere. That, my friend, is zombies. Thank you.
Hold on, man. We're losing you there. Let me see if I can fix this here and make sure that we don't lose you during the show. Hold on.
Don't lose him, Nate. We need to know how to survive here.
Hold on. Let's try this. Let's hear you now, man. Let me call you right back, Patrick. We don't want to lose you. Hold on one second. I'll call you right back. We're going to call Patrick right back, folks.
I'm serious, man. I think there's a zombie outside. I hear the trash cans. You guys are talking about all this stuff. I'm getting cold chills down here in the studio, and it's like 150 degrees down here. But it's like Hell's Kitchen down here in the Ghostman Studios, man.
There's, you know, hell is part of what I think of when I think of the Ghostman Studios.
That's true. But, yeah, I either got zombie infestation or I have mice. I don't know.
let's call Patrick right back, because I'm not done with Patrick yet. I'm having too much fun.
Corpse said zombies got him.
Hello.
There he is. He's back. He's good.
Hello. It's good to be back.
Hi, Patrick. Yes.
Patrick, you were telling us something there. We were losing it.
I was telling you, so yeah, the remake of Night of the Living Dead, like you guys were saying, a lot of people make fun of it, but I loved it. I thought it was great, and it was in color. It wasn't the same as the original, but you know, it was. I think it was Savini's first feature film, and I'll watch anything with Patricia Tolman in it. I don't care what the hell it is, and I thought they did a great job. I thought he took a really good take on it. I liked the way they changed it up, and I thought it was a great flick.
Now, zombies are definitely a taste. Well, that's a bad way to put it. But certain people love zombie stories and certain people don't. What do you think makes the difference between the zombie lover and the zombie hater?
I think that the zombie lover thinks a little bit more about what could possibly happen. The zombie hater just instantly dismisses the idea, and maybe that person dismisses a lot of ideas that they should pretty much pay attention to, because it might involve them someday. But the zombie lover really thinks about what can possibly happen and what we're doing to ourselves and what we're. I think they dig a little deeper into it and a little deeper into the scary part of all of that. I always had a fascination with it, and I think that's what you even find it in the literature they're doing now, the Pride and Prejudice and zombies. I mean, taking classic literature and putting zombies into it. And, you know, you can't be a dope right. And think about that stuff. So
no. And see, that's what's so special about what you're doing, Patrick. Oh, you and God bless you, and the whole gang that's doing the ZombieHunterShow.com. You guys are keeping it alive. And, you know, I'm going to bring this out because everybody knows on this show, all the listeners around the world know that I love Horror Host. And I love what Sammy Terry did here in Indianapolis, Indiana. Nobody can hold a candle to him. Never will. But I want you guys to try because that's what keeps it alive. And I tell you what, Patrick, you're keeping zombies alive and you're keeping that alive. You know, where Sammy said about the horror shows and how things were and how people used to be spooked and gather around their computers or their TV. Well, back in the day, their TVs. But now they can gather around the computer. And you can see the soft flow, glow of the you know, the screen and watch a zombie feature right there at work or wherever you're at, thanks to you, brother. And they don't have to pay some outrageous price to see it, and you can be scared right there at home, just like in the days of old, man. People are trying to mainstream things too much, man. It's almost like, you know, you're supposed to check into a Holiday Inn and zombies are there and be like, hey, man, can I get you a drink or something? You know, I mean, they're taking they're taking the fright out of everything, man, and you're bringing it back. So God bless
you. And, you know, one of the things that I always loved about zombies and, you know, that we're losing now, and we actually got in Zombieland. I was very appreciative to see it in Zombieland because you just don't see it, is that guy that has lost everything because of zombies. And so now he just takes pleasure in killing zombies. When Tallahassee just started, it was like, okay, I've lost everything. Let me just enjoy killing zombies. And, you know, you don't. When you see that in most movies, the guy is like crazy or he's stupid or he, you know, and Tallahassee wasn't the smartest, you know, one in the chicken in the hen house, but he was definitely, you know, he knew what he was doing when it came to zombies and he just took pride in that. And you just, I don't see that in a lot of movies now about.
What was it? He was in the butt kicking business and business was good.
Yes.
It's funny you bring that up. We just wrapped up the eighth episode, and one of the main characters, Paul Bates, he loves killing zombies. He likes to call the group the Death Squad, and we don't really care for that too much, but he's very into it. And you start seeing that when the government starts cracking down on this, they are telling everybody they have it all handled. And we're rejoicing. We're like, great, fire us. I'd love to be unemployed from having to kill zombies. And because the rest of the people have families. Like, I have a fiance I'm trying to find. One of the other hunters has a wife and children. The other ones have careers. He doesn't have anyone in his life. He's a lonely kind of guy. Works at the post office. No, you know, I'm ragging the guys at the post office now, but he works at the post office. And he says, listen, I don't want to go back to that life. He doesn't want it to be over. And he desperately doesn't want it to be over. And then, you know, you see how things turn out, and he kind of gets his wish. So, right. So it's funny you're saying that. It's like, you know, you may lose everything, but what if you didn't have anything to begin with? You know, then you really want something like this.
That's it. Now, Patrick, I got to say one thing. AMC, Halloween Night, The Walking Dead. The previews look great. I know you know about it. You're the one that should have been directing this. Maybe you will in the future. Who knows? They got it wrong this time. But I think they got enough until they bring you in to keep them going. What do you think?
Well, I think that I hope – a lot of people ask me this question about The Walking Dead. I hope that it is a good show. I'm looking forward to being a good show. It was a wonderful comic. I've only read a couple of them. The storyline is great with Gail Ann Hurd producing it. I think it's going to be fantastic. The only thing that kind of irks us a little bit is that they're saying how unique the idea is, how it's never been attempted before. It's never been on TV before. And I'm like, yeah, you know, we've been broadcast for over 3 years now. It's like all you had to do was to watch some underground New York City television, and you see us regularly on in many boroughs and many stations. They play us in Australia. They play us in Maine and D.C., all kinds of places. And all you ever had to do was look. And I'm thinking, well, maybe they did look, you know. But
We understand. We understand your pain there, Patrick, because a year ago we did the first televised underwater paranormal investigation
and blood ritual.
Nobody else has tried that yet on Extreme Paranormal. And then 2 weeks ago, Destination Truth came out and said they were doing the first underwater paranormal investigation.
God bless America.
But you know what, I actually like that show, so I don't have any complaints. But you know, here we were, we were trying to be pioneers and we totally got looked over. So it,
I know the feeling.
We got looked over, all right. Our scripts did. Come on.
It would have been nice. You know what? Everybody told us we were scripted, and I was like, boy, it would have been nice if we were scripted. I can memorize a script.
It's yeah, all- it would. I'm too fat to be out in the middle of a swamp, guys.
It's a lot tougher when they tell you, okay, we only have 3 days to film this, and so we need you guys to describe everything you're doing while you're doing it.
Yeah.
And so...
And by the way, we shoot live in 2 hours, so have a nice meal.
Eating, what was it, Sean? We were eating our dinner in a cemetery in Louisiana with cockroaches crawling over our food while we were trying to film.
Yeah, yeah. The funny thing, man, Patrick, yeah, we were, man. It was we were in a foodie shop or something, man, in Louisiana, and the cockroaches are bigger than you, Patrick. And we were down there, man, and the funny thing about videos, man, and live paranormal investigations, we were getting stuff happening. We were at active places, man. I seen a cat in the window. We seen a guy rushing through the one time I was like, hey man, look at this dude standing up there in the window. And as he goes to point the camera up there, he runs out of film. They're like, cut, gotta change tape. I'm like, no, there's a dude in the window. Like, no, we're changing film, man. Just take a break. No, I'm serious.
And we literally tried to break down the door to get up to where Sean had seen the guy, and we couldn't get in. So it was like, we had the guys from the place there saying, no, these doors are locked. Nobody's in there. And like, we wait till they walk away so we can try and break down the door. We can't get in. And, we unfortunately, like, everything we tried, we couldn't get in there. But Sean's right. It was like, the camera's out of film. What do you mean the camera's out of film? We gotta get up there. And now we have to wait. When you're using high-def video, you have to wait 15 minutes for them to change stuff. So right. It's a killer, you know.
I wanted to retract the statement. First time here on Ghostman Demon Hunter Show, Ghost Chaser just brought it to my attention. Husky is the term I mean. No, I'm not fat. I'm husky. That's right, Jason Gowan. I'm bringing it back. He says I'm too old to bring back husky, but I am. They still sell husky men's clothing.
That's fine, Sean. I want to bring back Garanimals. Okay.
I'm husky. Check the stores, people. Walmart, Kmart, you name it. Husky's out there.
I'm a child of the 70s, Sean. I want to bring back Garanimals. All right. Yeah. So it's
husky sexy. I don't care what you guys say. Garanimals. That's right, Patrick. You might know a lot about zombies, but you don't know nothing about husky, my friend.
Husky may be sexy, but Garanimals are cool.
We need a husky
underoos.
Underoos got to come back. Well, yes, underoos. We need zombie underoos. We really do.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Underoos. That's the way to go. That's marketing.
You know what's funny, though, is...
don't they already have a line of those with the crotch out? Eight out?
Only yours, Sean. Only yours. But it's funny, too. I make jokes with people all the time that they got rid of Garanimals, but they replaced it with the Gap. Because everything matches.
Ooh. That's true, yeah. Oof.
That's great. That's great, man. I want onesies back, man. I can't find a onesie anywhere with the footies and everything. Onesie heaven, baby. I think it's the perfect clothing in case of a zombie apocalypse, man. You got your onesie on, you can do battle, and you can sleep. I mean, it's good for everything. A onesie, you can party, do battle with the dead, whatever.
You know, Sean, with all our talk about, like, doing battle and all this stuff and hiding in the attic and blah, blah, or running to the mountains or whatever. For me, the idea is to stay as far away from the undead as you can. And when they approach, then you kill them.
Listen, I'll save a bullet for you, Patrick, when you're drinking your cool, crisp mountain water up there that's infected by zombie juice. And when you guys turn, I'll shoot you, okay? That'd be all right. I'm going to drink bottled water.
Remember, folks,
in my attic.
It's zombiehuntershow.com. That's zombiehuntershow.com.
Patrick!
Hey, Patrick, before we end, we got to ask you. Zombie attack comes tomorrow. It spreads around the world. In a few months, there's zombies attacking everywhere. Before long, your best friend, your neighbor, whatever, is a zombie. Who survives, me or Sean?
Come on, Patrick!
Oh, wow. I don't know, but I'm thinking that Sean might have a disadvantage in that situation. Yeah, sorry.
Man, that's that New York kinetic.
For a little while. Yeah, sorry, yeah.
I'll prove myself, Patrick. I'll prove myself to you, man.
By the way, Patrick, I'm going to send you my resume because I want to be in this zombie film.
Sounds wonderful, man. You guys come over. You get to kill things with us. It'd be great. You guys can turn. We can kill you.
That'd be perfect. Yeah. Can you kill me every few weeks? Can I be the guy that's part zombie and just keeps coming back?
Oh, sure, yeah. We got one guy that's been in every episode as something different. He's been a hunter, he's been a zombie, he's been a paramedic, he's been, send more paramedics, And he's been at every single thing, and he's great. Ron Gonzalez is freaking awesome.
Do the zombies in your movie, Patrick, do their girlfriends at home get mad when they bite a lot of hot chicks in your movies? Do they get upset about that? Is that like cheating when a zombie bites a hot chick?
Yeah, surprisingly, yeah, we have a lot of problems with that. A lot of late night phone calls about what you guys are doing, and yeah, it's pretty tough, Yeah, wow. Those guys have it hard.
Zombie love, man.
Patrick, if you ever need to film an episode in a house in the country in Connecticut, let me know, because I can probably convince my roommates to let you do it here.
Oh, we'll include them all. That'd be great.
Dude, they like own Danbury, Connecticut. They got the biggest mansion out there.
We live on the edge of the haunted woods of Connecticut, so it's all good. But
yeah, if you ever need a 1940s rundown farmhouse on the south side of Indianapolis, come visit me, Patrick. I got an attic, bro. I'm telling you.
Oh,
hey,
but
we're about the stairs. We'll do it. Absolutely.
That's it.
But guys, we're gonna have to wrap up. It's zombie. It's Patrick, and he's from ZombieHunterShow.com. You can find it on our website. We'll post it on our past guests. I'm probably going to put it on our friends and events because it's just too cool. And, it's definitely just a great place to go. I pulled it up. I got the music right off the bat. Wonderful stuff you're doing, Patrick.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much for saying so. I'm glad you enjoy it. And thanks for the opportunity to come on the show. I had a blast with you guys.
Whatever we can,
I'd love to do it again.
Man. And remember, guys, that's ZombieHunterShow.com, and that's where the teeth meet the brains, everybody.
Now, one last thing before we wrap, Patrick. When will the zombies attack?
That's tough to say. It's not a question of really if, but the question is when. And I'm thinking after this next election, maybe very soon after that.
Well, you know, it's funny, too, because I actually have a zombie warning posted on my door at my office at work. Warning people of what to do in the case of a zombie attack.
Hey, people need to be informed.
They need to be informed.
Absolutely.
And only somebody who has the name the Demon Hunter would bother to post a zombie attack on the door at work. But hey, man, it's been fabulous. Can you hang on the line while we wrap up?
Sure.
All right, cool. And Sean,
thanks, guys.
Thank you, Patrick. Yeah, Pat. Sean, I'm sad to say it because I'm having too much fun for words.
Yeah, this sucks, man.
But it's time to thank everybody for joining us tonight for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Absolutely, guys. Remember, that was ZombieHunterShow.com, like I said, where brains meet the teeth. Or I actually said where the teeth meet the brains. That's right. I messed it up, guys, in true G&D show fashion. Anyway, guys, be sure to check us out on our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log on our forums because, hey, we want to hear from you.
And join us next week, which will be October 24th. We'll be a week away from Halloween, folks. Don't miss out. No Halloween show. We will not be on the air on October 31st. But check us out next week, October 21st, where I'm sure everything will go perfectly smoothly. Right, Sean?
That's right. As usual, everybody. Hey, special thanks tonight, guys, to our good friend Corpse Chris from HorrorHostGraveyard.com. Check that out, guys. Check it out.
How do you actually find that website, Sean? Horror Host Graveyard.
How do you find it? You put it in
like Horror Host. Is that just it? Horror Host.
Host. Yeah. Horror and then Host. HOST and then Graveyard. It's all one word. HorrorHostGraveyard.com. And check out our friend, guys. Corpse Chris will be there to greet you. He's got a lot of great stuff. Special thanks to him tonight. Special thanks to our man, Zombie Man himself, Patrick Devaney in the house, series creator and director, and so much more, guys. Hey, don't go changing, Ghost Hunters. You know we won't. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
Night, guys.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Well, I don't like work where I work. I'm wasting my precious time. I'm working day in, a slaving day out, and I'm losing my worried mind. I'm running my poor ass ragged, and I'm living from day to day. The boss man telling me what to do just makes me want to say to those heathens and hooligans, you won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I could use a beer.
Good.